Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Institute of Leadership and Management's weekly news roundup podcast, where we take a critical look at a number of topical developments from the past few days with a leadership and management theme. I am Rod Jones, content manager at the Institute, and because we are celebrating Christmas here in the UK, all our stories will have a special Christmas theme. Joining me to analyse these stories is Kate Cooper, Head of Research, Policy and Standards at the Institute. Hello, Kate.
Hello, Rod.
Our first story is taken from The Hill by Marina Potofsky that a real estate company in Maryland will distribute $10 million among all 198 of its employees in a surprise Christmas bonus. Company founder and chairman Edward St. John of St. John Properties revealed at the company's annual holiday party on Saturday that the $10 million bonus will be paid out to employees based on the number of years they have been with the company, with an average employee to receive $50,000. To celebrate the achievement of our goal, we wanted to reward our employees in a big way that will make a significant impact on their lives, St. John said in a press release. I am thankful for every one of our employees for their hard work and dedication. I couldn't think of a better way to show it. He went on to say, I steer the boat, but they're the ones that run the boat. They're the ones that make the boat go. Without the team, we are nothing. We are absolutely nothing. Kate, is this very generous one-off gesture to be applauded, or should it be seen as a short-term measure that is unlikely to have a long-term impact?
It would be difficult to not be impressed with a chief exec like Edward St. John here, who actually walks the talk, because he's, so many people say our people are everything, you know, our people drive the organization, but this person's actually rewarding them with an incredibly generous Christmas bonus. How can he not now be well regarded or thought of kindly by his employees, because he's actually rewarding them, sharing the rewards that really would be in many other companies totally owned by him and perhaps the senior leadership team? So I would think this is going to be enduring in its impact. And of course, it might not be a one-off, but it will be a difficult act to follow.
Indeed, it will. Kate, it will indeed be a difficult act to follow. Our next story by Jessica Brown in People Management suggests that employers fear over the reputational and legal fallout from poor behaviour at festive get-togethers is causing employers to scale back their plans or to take measures to safeguard staff. Initiatives such as chaperones, alcohol-free events and strict guidelines on conduct are increasingly enforced as employers and their HR departments respond to the fallout from notable party-related legal cases and a growing intolerance for potentially offensive or discriminatory conduct. The Financial Times, for example, has reported recently that accountancy giant BDO had introduced a sober chaperone policy for its Christmas parties, with each department asked to nominate two individuals who would refrain from overindulging to ensure employees behaved responsibly in an emergency situation and got home safely at the end of the night. The paper said other large businesses had encouraged employees to organise lunchtime events or were concentrating on team-building experiences that would avoid overconsumption of alcohol. KPMG was reported to have issued new guidelines about employee conduct before the party season. Kate, do you believe organisations are right to take a more conservative approach to celebrating Christmas?
I think if you genuinely want people to have a good time and you are aware that alcohol has many downsides and for many religions it's just not an acceptable thing to indulge in, then yes, let's think again about the Christmas party. And this company, that BDO, that introduced chaperones, was actually the subject of a piece on Sky News that I was invited to comment on. Unfortunately, the commentary was cut short because of the general election here in the UK. But nevertheless, I think the point I wanted to make, and I'll make here, go to your Christmas party, enjoy yourself, whether that's with or without alcohol, but always remember, essentially, you're at work. And that sets a different expectation for your standard of behaviour than if you were not at work.
Thank you, Kate. Our next story by Caroline Dohack, writing for The Hustle, suggests that Nike talks the talk, but finds it isn't as easy to walk the walk. Despite a number of campaigns touting equality for female athletes, Nike faces scrutiny for internal practices that actually hurt women. Nike declared 2019 the year for women, but following a number of positive campaigns in 2018, 2019 has seen Olympic sprinter Alison Felix cut ties with Nike after detailing how Nike sponsorship policies unfairly penalise female athletes who get pregnant, and Felix later cut ties with Nike. And Mary Kane, a record-breaking track and field athlete, claimed emotional and physical abuse at the hands of track coach Alberto Salazar, who led Nike's Elite Oregon project. Earlier this month, hundreds of Nike staff marched across the Nike campus in Beaverton, Oregon, to call for the company to make real changes in empowering female athletes and employees. The protest was tied to Nike's reopening of a building named for Salazar. A flyer for the event read, "Walk the talk, do the right thing." Kate, what can leaders realistically do to ensure the values they promote are realised in practice?
This story will be of particular interest for those people who are thinking of buying Nike products for Christmas gifts. Well, if ever there was an argument for linking up your communication strategy and what was a very successful advertising campaign for Nike with the genuine values of the organisation, this is it. You can't say, "Female athletes, we think you're marvellous. This is where your natural brand home, as it were," and then discriminate or treat female employees differently. So big lesson here for Nike, and hopefully for other companies, to make that really important link that communication is one thing, but it's behaviour ultimately on which you'll be judged.
Thank you very much, Kate. Our final story looks at Ellie, a 19-year-old PR manager for a digital marketing agency, who says, "This year I have taken 2 hangover days when I've been out with my friends, and I've taken 3 from when I've been out on work nights." "The perk has a lot in it," Ellie told BBC 5 Live's Wake Up to Money. "It's about honesty. It's about people being able to not lie to their managers. But also, the idea behind it is that parents have a lot of perks at our business, but there are not necessarily any for people who don't have children. So this is a perk for people who don't have kids." Ellie's boss is Claire Crompton, co-founder and director of the Audit Lab. The company is based in Bolton, and she says that offering attractive perks is key to attracting talent out of Manchester. "We wanted to offer something to younger millennials who typically go out midweek and do the pub quiz. My team book a hangover day in advance if they know they are going out. It's basically a work from home day, but we've sexed it up a bit to appeal to the younger generation," she said. "It promotes honesty as well." Kate, do you think labelling flexi time as hangover days is going too far?
Well, as you know, Rod, I am not a millennial, but I'm not sure that it's the pub quiz that keeps millennials out midweek. Great idea that there's a degree of honesty. And I think perhaps we're not talking about a hangover per se, because I do think there's a worrying connotation there that it's okay to come to work when you're essentially suffering from the adverse effects of too much alcohol. But you might have had a late night. You might be sleep deprived more than anything else, and not having to commute is extra time in bed, less stress, more time to work. And that openness about where you've been, what you've been doing, totally support and encourage all of that. But my remaining question is the idea that perhaps parents don't drink.
Well, thank you. Thank you for that. And that concludes this week's special Christmas episode. Have you anything to say to our listeners, Kate, before we conclude?
Well, of course, we have a special thank you to our producer, Juliet Campasi, who's put up with us all year and made the podcasts as good as they are. Thank you to everybody who listens and downloads, and season's greetings to everybody from the Institute of Leadership and Management.
Thank you very much, Kate. Listeners can find further topical content in the News and Views section on the Institute's website at www.institutelm.com. And thank you once again, Kate, for your insights on these stories.
Thank you, Rod.